Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we want to thank you tonight. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that's full of living power. Thank you for your word which is active and powerful, is able to divide asunder the soul from the spirit, and is even a discerner of the thoughts. Thank you because that word is so accurate and sharp, and it comes up with clarity and simplicity tonight. Makes maximum difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Just double checking. Did somebody come who had a problem with your hand? You know, you have a problem with your hand. Anybody? Is it your right hand? Is your right hand? Where in your hand? Where is that? The shoulder. Okay, just lift that up. Father, thank you for touching that, healing it completely in Jesus' name. I command the pain to go, every tendon healed, every muscle healed in Jesus' name. Were you also raising your hand back there? Is that the hand itself? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because your power rests upon those hands. Even now. yeah, that's it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now try to do something you couldn't do. Move it in a way you couldn't move it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, years ago, I was ministering in a battle. I ministered that way. There was a lady who had been attacked by armed robbers. And I think they were going to, you know, some human beings are just wicked. They were going to just smash with a cutlass. So she blocked with her hand. So they slashed through the hand. And unfortunately for her, she was a hairdresser. So, you know, if you can't, you know, for hairdressing, you need fine movement of your hand. You need, like a surgeon, you know, you need to be able to make the Lord or a keyboardist. You can't afford that kind of injury. So she couldn't do the fine movements very well anymore. And somebody referred her to the plastic surgeons in UCH that she needed to go. So she was supposed to go the following week when we had a school of miracles there. And as she lifted her hand, it was healed instantly. She didn't need to see the plastic surgeon anymore. And that means business restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How's the pain now? Huh? How is that now? Huh? Just come quickly. Come, 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 come. Is it gone? You have just a little. Okay, come. Let's remove the little. Jesus prayed for a blind man. Don't worry, we'll get to God's word quickly. As you know, this is a teaching service, so ordinarily I would just have been teaching. But if I feel that God is pointing out something specifically, then I would. And that also means anybody who is sick can receive their healing. We heard that the last time. So somebody was being healed. Somebody else picked on that, tapped into that, and was healed. So just hold my hand. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your power goes right through her now. Yeah, flows right through that hand. Completely causes a healing restructuring of that hand. Completely, I command every pain to go. By the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Just hold and expect like a flow. As I touch it, I'm remembering Acts 3. It says, they spoke to the man, said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But he didn't walk yet. He said, but as Peter touched him, there was a flow. And the Bible says the ankle receives strength. So just now there's a flow. Yeah, there's a flow. Receive the strength by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Yeah, just let it flow right through. Take it right through, right through. Let it flow right through. It completely is like surgery. It's like surgery. Let her down gently. It's like surgery. And God gets to work and restructure everything. Everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Mark 11. Mark 11. So now move it now. Abby? Okay, so. Or John, I used to have his nephew, nieces, you know, when they've eaten the food and the plate is clear, they will say, or John, meaning all gone, the food has gone. So, is it all John? Hallelujah. Mark 11, are you there? Okay, so tonight we're talking quickly about foundation for strong faith. Foundation for strong faith. And that's just been running on my mind, foundation for strong faith, because we want, I assume we all want strong faith. Am I right? What we will call strong faith is your ability to pray and what you pray for happens, right? What you speak forth happens. So that's, then you will say that person has strong faith. Abby? But what we call strong faith is, as we'll see in this story, in the story that we read in Mark chapter 11, is like revisiting the fundamentals of faith. The story we see there basically is where Jesus taught the disciples. We'll see Mark 11:22. He demonstrated something. Then they looked at what he demonstrated. They were surprised. And he said, Master, see what you said. It has happened. And then verse 22, Jesus said what? Have faith in God. All that translation say that what he said was, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. So basically, it means that whatever it was that this story is about was a demonstration of how faith works. Okay? So I've just been toying around with titles. So this is really how faith works. Okay? So when I say foundation for strong faith, it's not really strong faith. It's really just faith. This is how faith works. These are the fundamentals or the foundation for faith. This is what makes your faith productive if you know these things, okay, that Jesus was, or that are pointed out or highlighted in this story. Can I have an amen? You know, and we really, every single person can come to that place, because again, if Jesus said to them in verse 22, have the God kind of faith or walk in the God kind of faith, it means that it is possible for all of us, can I hear you say all of us? It means it's possible for all of us to walk in the God kind of faith. It's possible for all of us to live that way. It's possible for all of us to function that way. Otherwise, it will be illogical. It will be irresponsible. It will be unfair for Jesus to teach that or to instruct that and say, have the God kind of faith. If he said it, it means that I can do it. Can I have an amen? Are you here? Okay, now say it after me. Say, if Jesus says it, it means I can do it. Say it again. Say, if Jesus says it, it means I can do it. And why am I saying that? Because that means that for everything you see in the Bible that comes as an instruction, it doesn't matter how you feel. If the instruction is there that says do this, it means that the ability to do it is inside of you somewhere. Amen. So when you are studying your Bible tomorrow and you are seeing an instruction, then you are thinking, how can I ever be able to do this? Be ye holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. It means that it's inside of me. The ability to be holy is in there. I can do it. Hallelujah. It says, what? Be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. We have pointed out that word perfect means mature. Spiritually. So if he says be perfect or be mature, it means that inside of me, the capacity to mature spiritually exists. Can I have an amen? Amen. So back to this now, Mark 11. So Mark 11, we'll read from verse 12. It says, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. That is, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples Had it. Okay, so jump down to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi or teacher, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or like we just pointed out, have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. I was actually just going to start from verse 24 alone. That's what I was going to do initially. Just read verse 24 and say, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Because that's where we want to function. That's where everybody wants to function, is that whatever I desire when I pray, I believe I receive it and I'll have it. But then, even though that's where we want to function, that's not where Jesus started from. That's where that verse 24 starts with the word, therefore. Can I hear you say, therefore? Therefore, every time you see the word therefore, stop to see what it is there for. Are you with me? Every time you see therefore, stop to see what it is there for. It means that some things have been said just now, or some things have happened just before then. That is why you can say therefore. And so when I read therefore, I press the brake. You know, you stop like in cartoon. You know the way they stop in cartoon when they are running. Amen? So when you're running through the Bible, and you see therefore, just do, then you see all the gas, then you stop. Then you go back and say, what was it therefore? Amen? And it's therefore for the reasons that Jesus had just explained. Have the faith of God, the God kind of faith. And if you say to this mountain, be removed, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that whatever you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Actually, I've been playing around with how to go about this. Are you still there? So there are three things, basically. There are three things we'll come across in what we have read that make for strong faith. Number one is what you believe. Number two is what you say. And number three is what moves you or not. Are you there? Number one, what you believe. Number two, what you say. Number three, what moves you or not. Are you still there? So number one is what you believe. So when they did this, now watch this, that when Jesus went there and he spoke to the fig tree, he said what he said and walked away. Now, one of the interesting things is that some people have spent so many years, you know, for many years, I never bothered about why he caused the fig tree. I didn't bother about it, you know, he caused the fig tree. I didn't bother why. Some people have spent the same number of years wondering how wicked Jesus was for cursing a fig tree when it was not the season of figs. Are you with me? You know, so I skipped all that. I didn't understand it because I saw the Bible wrote there for it was not yet the season of figs. But yeah, it must mean something. That's why they put it there. But again, I thought to myself, that must not be the real object lesson. The real object lesson must be how the fig tree dried up. What made the fig tree to dry up? Not why would Jesus cause a fig tree when it was not yet the time of fig. So it took many years for me to get an answer to why, because I wasn't really looking for it. How many people want to know why he caused a fig tree, even though it was not the season of figs? Because when it's not the season of figs, it's not supposed to have leaves. Are you with me? So the fig, it was not supposed to have leaves. So the fig trees don't have leaves when it's not the season. So when he saw from afar and he saw the leaves on it, he thought there would be figs on it. That for this one to have leaves, it means that the fruit will be there. And that's why he went there. But didn't find, because it was not the season of figs. And cursed the fig tree. Okay? We can make doctrine out of many things, isn't it? We can say it cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was a hypocrite, which was pretending to be what is not. So the Lord will curse hypocrites. Are you with me? But that's not the important thing. The real important lesson is how he got the fig tree to dry up. And that's why when the next morning they got to where they were, they were passing by. And when they were passing by, please note, I want you to first realize the difference between Jesus and those disciples. Jesus wasn't even looking at the tree. Are you getting what I'm saying? So here they were walking by the next morning, and he wasn't even looking. It was Peter that looked and said, Rabbi, look! Why wasn't Jesus looking? He was quite confident that what he said would happen. He was not interested in follow-up. Are you with me? You know follow-up. Follow-up is when you have a boil and you cause the boil in Jesus' name. I command you, boil, to dry up, disappear in Jesus' name. And then 5 minutes later, you check it. That's follow-up. Let somebody say follow-up. Then you go again, you take ruler, you measure it. Then you confess a little bit. 1 hour later, you come back, you pick ruler again. It has reduced. No, I'm not sure. I curse you! Are you with me? That's follow-up. Are you there? Or you can do follow-up with money. So every hour you open your bank app and you check the balance. Are you there? You are checking the balance every hour, checking the balance. I've been confessing. You are checking every hour. That's follow-up. Are you still with me? You know, follow-up is like going to the farm every week and digging the seed that you planted to look at it, whether it is growing. Huh? How many people have ever, you are looking at me like you've never been to the farm before. Your hometown is Ikoyi. Huh? You've never been to the farm. How many people have been to the farm before? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Okay, no, not even been there. How many people have planted before? You planted beans, maize. Amen? Uh-huh. So you know the problem. You know the problem with somebody who goes to dig the seed every week to check. How many people know that when you first plant the seed, you don't see anything? Are you there? You know, so the first time we will have small farms when I was growing up behind our house, and then we planted. Then you come. 1 day, nothing. 2 days, nothing. 3 days, nothing. Ah. You know. 4 days, nothing. Say, uncle, this is not growing. I mean, because you can't see anything outside. And actually, the truth is that some of us dug one or two up. Yes, okay, only one person is confessing like me. You know, we dug it up because the thing wasn't growing now. But guess what? To our surprisation, like Chief Zebrudaya would say, you know Chief Zebrudaya. Ah, my God. Looks like we're getting too old, though. Eh? You know Zebrudaya. Uh-huh. So, to our surprisation, we look. So, that one's not Queen's English now. To our surprisation, we dug it in, and guess what we found? It was growing. But nothing had come out of the soil. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, Jesus was fully convinced. Now, the experienced farmers amongst us did not bother to uproot anything. They came, they watered, they weeded, but they did not care about what they saw out of that soil or not. They did what they were supposed to do, fully expecting that something was going to grow. Are you still there? So the three things. So what then shocked them was what made Jesus to teach them. Okay, they were surprised. Then Jesus now taught them and said, hey, this is the God kind of faith. And you need to have the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith, if you have it, you will say to this mountain, and some people have said, oh, he was talking about the mountain of trouble that you are faced with. He wasn't talking about a literal or a real mountain that he was looking at. He was talking about a real mountain. Can I have an amen? You can use it figuratively to describe your mountain of problems. But hey, they were talking about a real tree. How many people believe that? So they were talking about a real tree. So when the tree surprised them, Jesus looked at a mountain and said, look, even this mountain, you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, you shall have what you say. Are you with me? That's why I speak to tumors. I speak to tumors. I speak to broken bones. Because it says, you say to this mountain. So I speak to them because they will respond. Are you still there? I said, are you there? Somebody once said, we talk to God about our mountains, but we don't talk to our mountains about God. Are you with me? I'm still introducing you. So what Jesus said was to do what? Speak to the mountain. Not speak about the mountain. Not even pray about the mountain. He said, talk to the mountain. So very often we need to learn to issue the faith command and speak to the mountain. Can I have an amen? So, like I said again, back to my points, three things that make for strong faith or effective faith, as we see in this story, number one, what you believe. What you believe. So Jesus said, if you believe, whatsoever you ask for, if you believe and you do not doubt, you shall have whatsoever you ask for. Faith begins with the conviction in your heart. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith begins with the conviction in your heart. It says, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. So there's something about faith in your heart. There's something about the conviction in your heart. Can I hear you say the conviction in my heart? So Hebrews 11, which is taken as the great Bible chapter on faith, begins with what many have called also the definition of faith. And he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look at the Amplified, the classic Amplified version. It says, now faith is the assurance. Faith is the assurance. Assurance is a matter of the heart. Are you with me? It says, now faith is the assurance, which is the confirmation, the title deed, which we call C of O for land, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So faith is of the heart. Are you with me? It is a conviction. It's an assurance in your heart that what you hope for will happen. Kenneth Hagin would say that faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. Very confusing, isn't it? Faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. What heart is that? It's not the human heart that pumps blood, no. There is a real you, which is the inner person, the spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3 was instructing women, and he said the adorning or the makeup should not be the makeup of the outward. Don't put an emphasis on the outward person. He said, but the adorning should be that of the inner man, the real you, the man of the heart, the scripture calls it. So there is a heart, there is a core being, and that's what he's talking about, that when within you, you just have a conviction that this is going to be. You believe this is the way it's going to be. You just have that conviction. It doesn't stop sometimes that thoughts will come to your mind that say, are you sure it's going to happen? What mistakes many of us have made many times is that we have abandoned the conviction in our heart to follow the thought that came to our head. I'm trying. Amen? I'm trying to get it across. I hope it's a little clear. I hope it's a little clear. So, inside of you, have you ever been in that situation before where inside of you, you just knew this was going to be? But yet, several times, thoughts will come to your mind about it. But somehow, you press through because you kept believing that, I believe, and it happens the way you believed. How many people know what I'm talking about? Because faith is of the heart. Faith is of the heart and not of the head. And faith in your heart will walk with doubt in your head. One of the confusing stories also we've read in the Bible is in Mark chapter 9. I'm not reading, I'm giving you scriptural reference to go and read. So Mark chapter 9, you find a story of a man who came and brought his son to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "My son has been tormented with the devil since he was a young boy." He said, "I brought him to your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. If you can do anything," he was talking to Jesus. He said, "If you can do anything, then help me." And Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 23, he said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." So you know what the man said? He said, "Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief." Bros. How many people have ever read that story before? He said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." My friend, choose one. Do you believe or you don't believe? Are you still there? That man was in that situation that I'm talking about. There's a conviction of the heart. How do I know what you believe? I know what you believe by what you do. James chapter 2, 17, 18. He said, one man says, "I'll show you my faith and I'll show you my works." Remember, James chapter 2 is also where we saw that the Bible says faith without works is dead. The word works there means corresponding action. He said, so one man says, "I will show you my faith and then I will show you my works." He said, but another says, "I will show you my faith by my works." So what is that? I will show you what I believe by how I act. What was the man's action? Despite the disappointment, the boy had this problem since he was a child, and he had even taken him to the disciples. They could not cast it out. The man believed. That's why he still came to Jesus. His speech was out of place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? His tongue was wrong. His speaking was wrong. His confession was out of place, and that's what Jesus was trying to fix. But his heart was in the right place. Are you with me? That's why the man replied and said, "I believe. I believe. That's why I'm here. That's why I still came to you. That's why I waited even after service for you to arrive. Service had happened, disciples had prayed, but I still waited because I believed. Help my unbelief." I like the way the Amplified puts that actually. That should be Mark 9, 24. Mark 9, 24. Are you still here? Are you getting anything? Remember what we said. We're talking about what? Foundation for strong faith. That's like saying born again Christian. When you say strong faith, it's like saying born again Christian. Actually, what I'm talking about is foundation for faith, really. Born again Christian doesn't exist. It's either it's a Christian or it's not. You know, but we say born again Christian in order to pass across a message. We know what we're trying to say and why we have to put it that way. Okay? So Mark 9, 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible." I'm reading the Message translation. Oh, no, there's no message yet. Sorry. I'm going ahead of myself. So, verse 23. Okay, so Jesus said, so the man says to him, verse 21 now, he asked the boy's father, how long has this been going on? Ever since he was a little boy, many times he pitches him into fire or the river to do away with him. If you can do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, then I believe. Help me with my doubts. Then I believe, the man said, but help me with my doubts. The man was saying, hey, if it's belief, I have belief, but I also have doubt. I have belief in my heart. I have doubt in my head. Help the doubt in my head, but I believe. Are you still with me? I said, are you there? Hallelujah. So first thing we're talking about is what you believe. What you believe. What you believe is reflected by how you act, what you do. Hallelujah. And let me say this before I move to what you say. Remember the foundation for faith, what you believe, what you say, and what moves you or not. Okay? So what I say to you is this. Work on your heart. You want strong faith? Work on your heart. Work on what you believe. Work on the convictions in your heart. How will I do that? Simple. What you hear will determine what happens or the convictions that exist in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Proverbs 18:21. The power of death and life are in the tongue. What does that mean? It means that the same way I can speak life or death, I can be listening to life or death. Did you get that? I said, did you get it? So the same way that I can speak life or death, the people that are speaking to and singing and whatever, they are also using words, and those words also carry what? Life or death. So how do I work on the conviction of my heart? That's why Proverbs 4:23 tells me to guard my heart with all diligence. Do it diligently. Take it seriously and guard your heart. So if I guard it, guard means put a guard at the entrance of your heart. Sieve what goes in there. Are you with me? Listen, there are too many believers who believe in witches and wizards more than they believe in God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are too many Christians who believe in witches and wizards more than they believe in God. If they tell them today, the witch in your village has been calling your name, they will not sleep. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They will not sleep. Why is that so? Why do they believe all of that? Despite the fact that they know that God says he's the one that watches you. Despite the fact that the Bible says that your life is hid in Christ with God. And why do they believe so much? The witch has not spoken to them. Somebody just said the witch has been calling your name in the village. And they will not be able to sleep. Why is that so? Why do they have such faith in the witch? Because they have paid too much attention to stories of witches and wizards. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have paid too much attention to it. They have heard it on radio. They like to read it in paper. They like to, when people are gisting about it, they like to sit there. Sorry, I missed the beginning of the story. I just came home. Can you start again? They want to hear it. And as they hear it, something is happening to the convictions of their heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I say, are you hearing me? So foundation for strong faith is the conviction. Number one, what if you say and not doubt in your heart. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe in your heart. So the first thing is the conviction of what you believe. Can I have an amen? So Joshua 1:8 says what? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. That way you make your way prosperous and you will have good success. What I like about it is that he says, if you give attention to this book of God's law, if you give it attention, he says, acting upon it will become natural, will become spontaneous, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So the more attention I give to it, the more it becomes just so real and a natural part of me to live by the word of God. Are you there? Foundation for strong faith, number one, is what? What you believe. Number two, what you say. Kenneth Hagin said, Jesus appeared to him in a vision and said to him, you know, Mark 11:23, the word say appears three times and the word believe appears only once. He said, my people will have to learn to say three times as much as what they believe. McCankin says, you don't run towards your giant with your mouth closed. Are you with me? What am I talking about? The fact that you have to speak. Can I hear you say, I have to speak? So foundation for strong or effective faith is you'll have to learn to use your mouth. Declare, 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 declare. This is what God's word says. I declare this is what shall be. You don't keep quiet and say, I just believe it in my heart. You say it. And Jesus said, my people will have to be taught a lot more. When he was speaking to Kennedy again, he said they'll have to be taught as many times more about speaking than about believing. He said, because most of them don't have a problem with believing. They believe God can do it. They believe God can do this. They believe God can do that, but they are not saying it. Are you still there? They are not getting the speech right. So foundation for faith number two is speaking. Speaking, 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 speaking. What are you saying? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You don't run towards your giant with your mouth closed. Are you there? Romans chapter 10. Are you still here? Hallelujah. He says that if you confess with your mouth, verse 9, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Look at verse 10. That's my emphasis. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, but you need the mouth for salvation to be effected. Are you with me? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. He says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore we speak. Hear me. The spirit or the attitude of faith is a combination of believing and speaking. Are you still there? It is a combination of believing and speaking. If you believe it, you'll have to open your mouth and speak it. If you believe it, you'll have to open your mouth and declare it and not doubt that what you said will come to pass. Are you still there? Jesus caused the fig tree. The Bible says, and the disciples heard him. How many people know that he was not trying to act a drama? Huh? He wasn't trying to act a drama. Say, let me act. You know, drama now, we say, project. Project, so that they can hear you. Action! I mean, 1, 2, 3, then say, no man will eat fruit from the after. Cut! Say it again. No man will eat food from you from today henceforth. Cut! Say it now. No man will eat fruit from me from today's world. So, then the disciples heard him. No. It was just him. He saw a fig tree. He thought there was fruit. He walked there. The Bible says that, and he replied the tree. So it was like the tree was speaking to him. I said, hey, Abi, we thought there was fruit. No fruit for you, Abi. Are you with me? Then he replied the tree and said, no man will eat fruit from me. So he was not thinking of these guys here. He just declared it. It came out of his heart and he spoke it forth. Are you still there? So sometimes you are looking at it, there's a bill to pay, then you open your bank app or you bring out your card, you put it, you give it to them, they put in the POS or you put it in the ATM, and it says what? Insufficient balance. Then you say, you're a liar. There's money in that account. It's coming now. You are just a liar. You will see money. You will see money. You will see money. And everybody around at the ATM is, something is wrong. Okay, so it's in the privacy of your room. You thought, let me transfer the money. Then when you opened the thing, you saw 5 naira. They said, a lie. My God shall supply. Or what are you doing? You are replying the bank app. Abi? Because when you went there, you thought there was money, and the thing looked at you and said, 5 naira. Then you reply and say, a lie, there's money coming in Jesus' name. Amen. So he replied the tree. He wasn't acting the drama. He just did what he did. But they said what? The disciples heard him. So you all have to speak. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, let me show you something. James chapter 1. I think one of the big problems people have with speaking, James chapter 1, one of the big problems we have with that speaking and believing, remember what we said, 2 Corinthians 4:13, is that if you operate in the spirit of faith, you have to get to a place where your heart and your mouth flow together actively. The convictions of your heart are solid and they consistently flow out of your mouth. So when you say it, you believe it. You expect it to happen. Are you with me? Even if doubts fly in your head, you'll still stand there and say, nah, I refuse to believe that. It's going to happen. Okay? And the reason why many of us will not dare oftentimes to speak that way is because we have not been training ourselves to be conscious of the right use of words. We speak anyhow, generally speaking. We speak anyhow, we say anything. Some even tell, they make appointments that they don't mean. It doesn't register in their head. They say, I'll see you tomorrow. But the moment he says, I'll see you tomorrow, he has forgotten 5 minutes later that he said, I will see you tomorrow. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's somebody who is careless with words. And there are many people who are careless with words. And that's why it's difficult for them to function in faith. Because their heart doesn't know which word is correct anymore. Because everything is taken lightly. It's a joke. He doesn't mean it. He says what he doesn't mean all the time. So it's difficult to suddenly switch. Do you understand what I'm trying to describe to you? That if you are somebody who always talks lightly and you always say things and you don't commit yourself, the Bible says you are ensnared or you are snared by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6:3. That means you are trapped by the words of your mouth. When you say it, you are snared by it. The words trap you. He says, who is that righteous man? He says, the man who swears to his own heart and doesn't turn back from it. So when you are that kind of person, it's easier to function in faith. So when you also declare in faith, it's easy for your heart and your mouth to connect. Are you with me? But James chapter 1, are you there? I need to wrap up in 5 minutes. James chapter 1. And yet I haven't reached the final one and maybe the real point. It says, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle or control his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James 1:26. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle or control his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. What I want you to see and take note of are the words, but deceives his own heart. I want you to take note of those, that phrase. Meaning the person who speaks anyhow does what? Deceives or confuses his own heart. So his heart doesn't know how to stick and connect to the words and say, no, these words that were spoken now must come to pass. Because if his heart followed every word that he said, too much damage will be done. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay, may the Lord give you greater understanding. May those words stick with you. May it pursue you. May it show up in your dreams. And for the next several days, may it haunt you in your mind until you meditate upon it and you realize what I'm trying to say to you. That the man who speaks carelessly deceives his heart, confuses his heart. So now suddenly standing and saying, I am functioning by the spirit of faith, I believe, and therefore I speak, is difficult. Are you still with me? Number three. So number one, foundation for strong faith, what you believe. Number two, what you say. Number three, what moves you? What moves you? What are the things that you see, or what moves you or not, or does not move you? If you are moved by the physical things, the things that your physical senses can sense, then you cannot function in strong faith. This is the real basis for this message, actually. Okay, so the last one, shortest one maybe, unfortunately, but this is the real basis of this message. Okay, if you are somebody that gets moved by things in the physical, you have to train yourself not to be moved by the physical, but by be moved by God's word, be moved by what you believe, be moved by what you have said, but not be moved by the things that happen in the physical. Are you with me? So they stood there and they said, "Ha, Rabbi, look! The tree you cursed has dried up." The Bible says what? From the roots. Jesus did not bother looking. Once he believed and he said it, that settled it. Okay? They were moved because when he said it, they saw nothing. They heard him, but they saw nothing. But the reason why they saw nothing was because the drying up began from where? The roots. The drying up began from under the soil, not from the leaves. What they saw the next day were the leaves that were dried up, and that's why they looked and said, "Ah, Rabbi, Babao! Babao! Whoa! Battery has dried up! Wow!" Because they saw the leaves. But when he said it, the drying up began immediately, but began from the roots, where he could not be seen. Are you with me? If you walk in strong faith, you can't be moved by what you see. You can only be moved by what you believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can only be moved by God's word, which is what you believe, not by what you see or don't see. If God says it, you believe it, that settles it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So very often, what we have not understood is that, I mean, Daniel told us that story in the book of Daniel. He says Daniel was waiting on God, praying, and it took 21 days. And an angel appeared to Daniel. And he said, "Look, I was coming, but I was waylaid on the way by the prince of the air. You know, there were demons on the way that held me back." But Daniel was praying and fasting for 21 days. So people have said, we need to do that in order to get the answer. I don't doubt that you need to fast and pray for days, 7, 21, 40. Great. Hallelujah. But if you read that story, I think the most important thing in that story was the statement the angel made and said, "Daniel, from the first day that you prayed," I think that's Daniel chapter 9. He said, "From the first day that you prayed, your prayer was heard and I was sent." I think that's the most powerful thing in that story. He was saying, "Hey, Daniel, you didn't see anything for 21 days. But actually on day one, hour one, minute one, when you prayed, your prayer was heard and I was sent. Meaning the answer was dispatched. There were delays, but thank God you were steadfast. Thank God you stood your ground for 21 days with prayer and fasting. But your prayer and fasting for 21 days was not to get God to answer you, because God already answered you from day one. Are you following me? So the most important thing is to know that I'm not moved by what I see. So Daniel couldn't see it for 21 days, but he was not moved. Are you still there? You'll have to stand there. Kennedy again is the one who says, if you are willing to believe God and wait for it forever, he said it won't take very long. If you are willing to stand believing God and waiting for your answer forever to manifest, he said it won't take very long. Because it means you have settled it in your heart that you have the answer. That's why you are willing to just stay there. Time doesn't matter anymore. Because you already have the answer as far as you are concerned. He said, then it won't take very long. You will get it. You will see it manifest. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, let me begin to wrap up. Years ago, of course, when I was getting married, this will just tie that for you. Believing God for my suit, I came to Lagos to sew my shirt, my suit. Don't worry, if you see me after, I'll tell you my designer in the market there. I'll tell you the designer's name. You know, it's so super. So you want to sew, I will tell you who to see, you know. And I went there, so he measured everything, did all of it. He asked me then, he said, which label do I want on the shirt and on the suit? I said, what do you mean by which label? He said, which one? Is it T.M. Lewin? Is it, I said, are you not the one who will sew it? He said, I'm the one. I said, so put your name now. Put your name. I'm not forming for anybody. I don't care. I said, so put your name. I don't want to see any false name there. Put your own. If you have label, put your own label. I'm okay. Amen. So I paid some deposit, went away, and says, okay, come back so time, it will be ready. The only problem was I didn't have the money. You know, prayed about it, believed God, and barely about 2 days or so, two days or so to coming back to Lagos for the date, come and pick it up. I still didn't have the money. Believe God. Of course, doubt will fly to, are you sure? Won't you just ask your dad? Won't you just ask this one? Won't you just ask that person for money? And I said, no, I believe I have it. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. So this day, you know, 2 days or so before it, I went to the barber shop. And then I got to the barber shop. And as I entered, there was a gentleman who was just wrapping up there. They were just finishing with his hair. So he looked up and he saw me, Pastor, how are you, sir? You know, blah, blah. So I greeted him. He said, I have a message for you, you know, from Pastor so-and-so in the UK. You know, so I just came back. I said, oh, really? Yeah, I said, well, what was the message? He said, well, I should give you some money for your wedding. Okay, You know, and can you imagine? The guy even suggested, he said, I'm going to cut my hair. Maybe I should give him my address. He will bring it later. Or would I want to come with you? I said, I will come after. Later, okay, Otio. I will come with you now. Otio. Then you tell me that you were busy. Otio. And then I have an appointment to pick up something I don't have money for. You know, so this was God in action, if you know what I mean. So I said, no, I will follow you now. Come and pick. If it's not any trouble, I say it's not any trouble. You know, but you know, the beautiful thing is that all the while I was believing God, it had taken what, how many days? Only God knows. When somebody in the UK, God had raised the answer, if you know what I mean, you know, and put it in his heart to say, send this person some money as a wedding gift for him. You know, to say, I heard you're getting married, I want to give you this money. You know, so how many days before then, or by about when I believed God for the money, God had already provided the answer, which I knew nothing about, but I was standing firm in faith and just thanking God and believing God that the money was available. The money was going to manifest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then for it to take, to be with this guy, only God knows how many days this guy has been around. also, if you don't understand what I'm talking about. And I kept the money and did not even know exactly where I was and how he was going to find me until I walked into the barbing salon and I saw him right there. So my point is, something was happening under the ground that I couldn't see. But I have to believe that something was happening. From the very first time that I prayed, I had to believe that the answer had been released. Are you there? Let me say another quick story before I stop. This was Jerry Savelle. And Jerry Savelle said that one day God told him, I think it was 100 acres of land across the road from his property. God told him, God said, I'm going to give you that land. And you are going to pay any amount you want for it. He said, okay, Lord, I believe it. I believe you for it and all of that. And he accepted that. Then 2 weeks or so later, somebody bought the land. A company bought that land. And he saw it. He saw it, you know, in the papers. And he said, God, they bought my land. And God said, I told you, if you believe me, I'll give you that land for whatever price you want. So forget about who bought it. Shortly after, that company went bankrupt. So they sold it to another company. The company that bought it went bankrupt. Each time you say, ah, God, see my land, or somebody else bought it again. God said, I told you that that land is yours if you believe me and you pay whatever you want for it. Until the third owner and the third company again went bankrupt. He said then one day he was not even in town. They called him. He had traveled to another city. And they called him from the government office because now the government had repossessed it. Everybody who had owned it went bankrupt. Every company went bankrupt. The government had repossessed it based on bad debt. It had a debt of $1.something million on it. He said, so they called him from, I mean, his lawyer called him because they had called his office and said, look, it looks like everybody around that area is going bankrupt. The only person that seems to be okay is Jerry Savelle. He said, so would you please ask him if he's interested in buying this land? You know, we would like to sell to him. The government doesn't want to keep the land. The government wants money. We don't want the land. So the lawyer called him and said, look, wait, I just got a call, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he told the guy, he said, yeah. And that if he wants it, he should make them an offer. So he said, he told the man, he said, yes, call them and tell them that I want it. And I'm going to pay $200,000. They should remove the debt on it. And it's $200,000 I'm going to pay. The man said, oh boy. He said something has debt self of 1.something million on it. Not to talk of the worth of the land itself. Then you are saying they should cancel the debts and you pay $200,000. He said, just tell them that. So the guy called the government office and told them, look, okay, yes, we'll buy and we're paying $200,000 for it. And we want the debt removed. In the U.S., they will ask for, he said, and we're asking for mineral rights. Meaning, if in the future you ever find oil or gas or gold under it, it belongs to us. Government can't take it. And you are paying $200,000. He said, the person on the phone said, I'm sorry, we can't even go and tell our bosses that. Now, what kind of offer is that? The man said, your bosses said you should call and ask him to make an offer. He has made an offer. Go and tell them that this is the offer. He said, do you believe in miracles? They said, no. This kind of... He said, go and tell them. So they went back and told them, this is the offer the man has made. So he said, those people called back and said, and they began with, we believe in miracles. Our bosses said, you should pay. And that's how he got it. After it went through three owners, that's it going under the ground. And by the time he went through three owners, the government was fed up with the place and said, just make us any offer. Whatever offer you make, that is it. If maybe he had been the first buyer, that would not have happened. But when he was growing under the ground, God knew why all of those things were happening. Soon after that, they actually found gas under it. So on top of that, money. Are you there? Stand up so we can close and just thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. Foundation for strong faith, what you believe. what you say, what moves you or not. Remember Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham was not moved by the deadness of Sarah's womb, neither the deadness of his own body. So it says Abraham, not being weak in faith, was not moved. I think that's Romans 4:19. Was not moved by the deadness of Sarah's womb, neither the deadness of his own body. So if you're going to function in strong faith, you can't be moved by what your physical senses can perceive. So thank God for his word tonight. Father, we give you praise. We thank you. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you because you've given to every man the measure of faith. We thank you because we walk on it. We develop our faith until it's really strong. We choose to believe. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.